Grace to you and peace from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you, righteous and having salvation is he, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. I have been spending some time rereading some of my college textbooks and other books I've picked up along the way. I don't think I ever really read completely through the entire 2-volume world history book. And so I thought, as I do other reading, I want to just kind of remind myself of the overall picture once again. And it is a history of war and bloodshed, of winners and losers. And history is usually written by the winners. The losers either die, or they're enslaved, they're shut up. They're told not to say anything. They have nothing to brag about, nothing to be able to share about where their life has meaning. On a personal level, probably a lot of us know something about this as well. The Trapp family came from central Poland back in the late 1870s. The Kersteins, my mother's side, the oldest sister and the oldest two brothers, my grandpa and a brother and sister, came in early 1913, just before the First World War began. The rest of the family stayed back in Lithuania until the Russians decided to go into Lithuania, and though the Kersteins had been there for almost 100 years, the best I could understand it from Grandpa, they all had to flee. They had to make a new life somewhere else. Kathy and I have been very close to that property. It's now in no man's land between Lithuania and Poland. The Lithuanians have not put a sign out saying, "Would you want to come back and take your land back, Kersteins? We'll let you." They're gone. In fact, one of the books that I read on vacation talks about the whole eastern part of Poland, where almost no one that lives there now lived there 150 years ago. They've all been pushed out. We know enough about the story of this country to know that it wasn't an empty wilderness that people came into, but the Americas were populated with many, many people. We call them Native Americans. There were others in South America as well who had built wonderful societies. And because of the disease and the people who came, a lot of things changed, not all for the better. We asked for our freedom from the king, but there were others who could not keep their freedom from us. And that's the way it's been on this earth, pretty much since it was created. There have been, as our Lord says, wars and rumors of wars, and earthquake and famine and disease and hunger and all sorts of things that we don't want to hear about and that we certainly don't like. It's not too bad if it's somebody else, but if it's us, then it hurts, and sometimes hurts a lot. We in our country have not generally had to live in the kind of fear that people elsewhere have. We've had our own fears. 9/11 certainly knocked us for a loop. And the anthrax that came right after it the same month. Who knows when someone can get us? For many people, it was the diseases that came along as people came from elsewhere, and their immunity protected them, but not those around them. This is a fallen world. We may have control for a little while for a few things, but we all know that the hovering cloud of doom rests with all of us. Even on our happiest days, something usually goes wrong. Even when we think things are going smoothly, something happens to take that away. We all live in a broken world. Our Lord doesn't tell us thereby to just be mean and nasty and get everyone any way we can. He calls us to live in joy and hope and peace. For the people who had been kicked out of the southern part of Israel, the land of Judea or Judah, and the city of Jerusalem, who had been taken off into southern Iraq, there was a little bit of odd news. You can come back. God will bring you back. God will stop those who have oppressed you, and you will be brought back into the land. The war horse isn't going to be there anymore. The battle bow isn't going to be there anymore. Those who are stuck far from home with no thought of a future are going to come back. And I'm going to make it happen, God says. He didn't make it happen because they somehow got religion and got holy. He made it happen because he said, I promised that I would give you a future and a hope. And thus, those who could not free themselves are freed by God through kings. This one who comes meek and humbly, riding on a donkey, not on a war horse, coming to declare victory. On this earth, even such victories go away. The time for the people of Israel and Jerusalem was not a time of great hope. Troubles kept coming. In fact, they're going on right now again in Jerusalem as peoples who hate each other kill each other. But we know in our own personal lives that we are not in charge. We cannot make things happen the way we want. We need someone else. And this little window that we get into what our Lord does for the people, the returning Jews, is a window into what our Lord does for us on that cross. The once for all victory that he gives us. A victory that takes care of our most bitter enemy, God himself, who can read our hearts and see what we are by nature, that we are the ones against him. He does not take it away so that we never recognize any longer that the brokenness is there. That will come someday. Right now, as Paul says, we still struggle. We've got a new heart that wants to love and serve the Lord, but we still have a heart that's at enmity with him, that does things against him and his will. We do not want to forgive everybody. We do not want to love our neighbors as ourselves. We would just as soon let a lot of them go. Let them worry about themselves. But as we come to confess that, we come to ask our Lord, as much as he would have it be in our lives, that we are at peace with him, that we can praise and honor him, that we look beyond ourselves, and we take up the tasks that he gives us, to be peacemakers, to be those who as much as possible can love as we have been loved. The Lord comes to us in peace. From the moment of the resurrection, he says, those who believe that I am the Lord and Savior are at peace with me forever. I do not see in your heart anymore what's wrong. I see my drive in you to love me with your heart and soul and mind and to love your neighbor. And so we come to worship not simply to say we're worthless nothings, but to say that what's in us by nature has been taken over by what's in us by grace. A God who comes meekly to us, who encourages us, loves us, promises to be with us always, and gives a meaning to our life beyond just what we can comprehend, that we are the agents through whom he brings love to this world. Forgiveness, life, salvation, peace. And we get to talk about that. We get to share with others that the victory is won. Jesus lives. And that even though our dreams here on earth are never going to be as full as we want them, never as complete, never so that they will never be fraught with difficulty and trouble, our peace with Him is lasting. And thus we claim the grace and mercy of our Lord. We thank Him that He draws us from the waterless pit, from the darkness, from the fear, from the doubt. And that even though our life here is going to have all of those troubles that come along, that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He will never push us away because of ourselves, but He will draw us to Himself. And He will help us to acknowledge our need and the joy that we have, that we are His people, marching in an army of celebration, in a parade that goes through this earth to let people know Christ is Savior and Lord, and His rule will never end. Amen. May the peace of God that passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting. Amen.